Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast into the 7 o'clock hour we go here on a Thursday. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud later today, so keep it tuned all day long. They'll have that for you this afternoon, I'm sure, on the drive with Sterner and Hughley, or at least snippets of it. Here was J.J. Watt. He was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. They talked a lot about the Texans yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. This is J.J. Watt talking about the Texans' big-time second-half struggles right now.
Obviously, from my side, from Texans' side, it's very difficult. I had a stat that I had to personally look up to make sure that I was right on, but the Texans have not scored a second-half touchdown 5 of the last 6 games. That is a problem. And when you have a team like Detroit on the ropes like that, up 23-7 in the third quarter, you have to close them out. You have to find a way. And it was a crazy game. Like, it was, you could say it was a sloppy game in that there's so many interceptions. Obviously, it was all back and forth, but it was a very fun game to watch as a Texans fan, not at the end, but a very fun game to watch the back and forth.
Yeah, the sloppy game thing is interesting. It's funny when those interceptions were going back, teams were throwing interceptions back and forth. On paper, you go, wow, this is sloppy, all these turnovers. But you go back and watch, I mean, other than the interception at the end of the half, which was the Hail Mary, that, you know, which doesn't really count. But the other 6 that were thrown by the two teams, they were all earned. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, it didn't feel like a sloppy game.
Guys were making plays on the ball, you know?
No. I think as far as the interceptions go, that was one of the things that was oddly engaging about that game was it didn't feel like they were completely incompetent or hapless or anything. Yeah, they were earned interceptions. It was, now, CJ's interceptions themselves, yeah, those were bad interceptions. Mm-hmm. But I think the Lions are so good that you almost credit it for, like, okay, yeah, it's not necessarily that the Lions are, like, not on their A game. It's that they're being forced into their B or C game.
Yeah, this is where that cut from JJ. This is where I know that JJ is working hard at his job as a national analyst, because if he had been watching the Texans as closely as a regular fan would be watching the Texans, he would not have had to go look up the stat about the second half and not scoring touchdown. He would have known already. You know, like,
the 5 of 6 though was, I was kind of hung up on the 4 previous games they hadn't scored in the second half.
Yeah,
the 5 of 6 is the first way. He was the first one that phrased it that way.
Okay,
and I actually felt like, oh yeah, that is that. That sounds worse than 4 straight. 5 of 6 paints a longer image of incompetence. Yeah,
yeah. No,
like, oh okay. Oh, but the one game was the Patriots. Right, I see.
Manure is worse than bird crap. You know, the sense I've been getting, Seth, from people I talk to, people I interact with, like, of all the losses this year, this is the one that's been the toughest to move on from for people because of the huge missed opportunity. And I feel like the fans for the Texans have fallen into, like, 2 categories when it comes to this game. You've got the fans that are still livid with anything involved with the offense, the inept second half offense in particular that J.J. Watt just mentioned. And then there is a group of fans that have kind of cooled off. We get a lot of these on the text page, which is, all right, it's been a few days now. I've cooled off. Yeah. And now moving forward, there were some things to take away from that game where I feel like we're definitely equipped to handle the next three games on the schedule much better.
Yeah, it's hard to separate it from that four-game stretch where the Texans they've lost three of their last four games.
Right.
And it's hard to separate those other two losses that preceded this one. If the Texans had won three of their last four games, if they, let's say they'd pulled out that Green Bay game or something, especially, then you feel a lot different about losing by 3 points to the Lions, I think. It's just that it's the sum total of the incompetence offensively in the second half that makes you really question things. But if you look at it objectively, yeah, I'm at that point where I'm starting to watch some of the defense again, and I'm looking at the way Jalen Petrie is playing and how Kalen Bullock is coming along, and then you think about, all right, well, look, I don't know if this is going to solve anything about the way I feel about Bobby Slowick, but I know he's going to be a better play caller when Nico Collins comes back.
That's true.
And, right, of course not at the core. It doesn't change anything about him as a play caller, but it's just a lot easier when you've got Nico Collins out
there.
I'm not going to be complaining as much about things, I don't think, because things will get better. And then Will Anderson defensively. And, like, yes, it's the NFL. You can say injuries this, injuries that every single week. That's where I am right now. Yeah, all right. If Nico and Will are playing in that game, there's a very good chance that you end up winning it. So, like, let's load up. Let's play these next couple of patsies. And then when you're going up against the really tough stretch of your schedule, can you have Nico Collins give you a Will Anderson? Perhaps Christian Harris. It's a different team.
You think they're 9-4 going into the bye week? You think they win these next three? If you had to guess right now.
Who's the third one?
Jacksonville. In Jacksonville.
Yes. Oh boy, it's hard. I mean, even though I'm calling them patsies, better chance than not that, they win these next three.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be favored heavily in all three.
Yeah, and unless the Texans really blow out a couple of these performance opponents and have real strong second halves, I think we'll be just as nervous going into that stretch versus the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens.
Man,
as we would be right this moment.
That is going to be a wild week after the bye week, man. And when I say week, like, that's not like that's, it's basically a week and a couple of days. Like, it's from the 15th through the 25th.
Yeah.
They play the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
Hopefully.
Yes.
At the onset of it, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun doing this job. I promise you that for sure.
I wonder if you go back to, and I brought this up yesterday, the first year that the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. Remember, they went through a stretch where they lost three of four games in a row, right around smack dab in the middle of the season. The offense and Pat Mahomes just didn't quite look like what you were expecting or the promise of what he had shown earlier that year. And they fixed it. They got it back right. At that point in 2019, it looked like the Ravens were the team that was never going to lose again.
Yes.
So there's plenty of time for teams to improve, get worse, get back to health, all of that.
Yeah, I think the Texans, over the course of the next few weeks, they've got a real opportunity to improve, get a little healthier, and build some confidence too, I think, offensively. I think sometimes it's like, you know, like they say in basketball, says sometimes you just need to see the ball go through the hoop.
Yeah.
And that helps things. Like, I think they need to see themselves score this. I can't believe I'm saying this about a team with CJ Stroud at quarterback. But they need to see themselves score a touchdown in the second half of a football game.
It's tough. Where I try to, you know, like, I try to separate my emotion from it with Bobby Slowick being so much different in the first half than in the second half. I mean, a lot of what teams are figuring out over the course of the first half is, they want to get CJ out of the pocket, and they're running more boots. They're rolling him out. They're doing all these things. You've got solutions to that, and you figure out, okay, this is how we're going to play these guys today. The defense does. And I think where sometimes the second half adjustments are overblown a little bit is that there's only so many things the Texans can adjust to. In the first half, they're doing things to try to compensate for the fact that they can't pass protect conventionally.
Yep.
And teams start to figure that out. And it's been happening all season long. When they try to help the offensive line out, when they try to help the interior three out, teams see how they're doing it, and then they've got answers for that. The answer for Bobby sometimes would be, all right, let's make these guys sit in man protection and pass protection and pick up these blitzes, and they're not capable of doing
That's right.
And it's so I cut him a little bit of a break in that, but it still comes back into him because they can only execute so many things.
Yes.
Like the execution, I think sometimes people hear D'Amico or Bobby Slowick talk about how, you know, they just need to execute better. Yeah, but that's not putting it all on the players. That comes firmly back on Bobby Slowick. Mm-hmm. Why are these guys not executing?
Yeah.
Get these guys to execute better.
Yes. J.J. Watt was actually asked about Bobby Slowick on the McAfee show yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, we're going through a similar thing in Houston right now. Like last year, Bobby Slowick, everybody is 100% on him, saying he should be assistant coach of the year, saying we're so grateful and thankful that he's not getting a head coach. He just decided not to do head coaching interviews everywhere else. And now everybody all of a sudden turns on him immediately halfway through his second year. And it's like, all right, like, it's just crazy how fast we go from love to hate to love to hate.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and what we do is a big part of that. You know, like, it fuels the narratives, probably not the right word, but it definitely fuels the
head,
emotion.
Heavy's the head that wears the crown of
Absolutely.
An offensive coordinator in the NFL.
For sure.
It's a results business, baby.
Dude, he got a big raise this offseason, man, to not go be a head coach somewhere, you know?
Do we know that he did for sure? Did he get an extra
I
raise?
Thought I had heard he did.
I thought
yeah.
that was my speculation, is maybe they sweetened the pot a little bit when they found out that the Falcons really liked him.
Let's ask him on Friday at his press conference.
Did you get an extra did you get a pay bump? What do you think the answer is?
If you were to ask him at a press conference,
yeah.
He would no comment that. And then I would be like, I have a follow up to the pay raise question. And I'd be like, come on, man, you totally got a raise. And how much was it?
What did you buy your wife for Christmas last year
right.
versus what are you planning
yes.
on getting her
yeah,
this
let's
year?
Let's go to his Instagram and see Christmas Day, what it looked like in the Slowick household.
Last year she got a remanufactured washing machine. This year she got a Maserati.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
Or a Ram 3500. That's what I would suggest, Bobby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Put on the Bayway if you really care.
There you go. Want to give out the website, Seth? Go ahead.
Yeah.
So 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Text message. Still livid here. Bobby Slowick still going to call his BS trick plays and have zero adjustments in the second half. The trick play thing is interesting because I've felt that way too about like the I'll use the Tank Dell end around because I think 99% yeah. of the time that's what people are referring to because it yeah. hasn't worked in weeks. Uh-huh. And I saw a replay of the one they ran in the Lions game, and I hate to sound like one of the coaches over there saying this, but uh-huh. I'm watching this, I'm like, God, if somebody just puts an elbow on that defensive end right there, Tank is still running.
I know, and that's where it comes down to the execution
yeah.
too. Was it? Were you guys so wholly surprised that the defensive end was going to rush upfield on that one that
yeah.
he couldn't get a? And that's where, you know, when Clint was going off about Dalton Schultz yesterday,
yeah.
there's so many times where it's. Where Schultz is just supposed to jam somebody at the line, and it's almost like he gets a half-hearted forearm flipper into the dude before he gets off onto his precious route. That yeah, some of those are where it starts to annoy you and bother you a little bit. But some of these plays where they've got just where either a wide receiver or tight end is just supposed to pin somebody down and they just whiff on them completely.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with the design of the play, but these guys just aren't executing the simplest of tasks where you're just supposed to get in somebody's way. You're just supposed to pin him for a half second, and they can't get to him.
And the thing about the play, like that Tank end-around play where the one yeah. guy blows it up, is that there end up being like five guys piling on top of Tank, so it makes it look like everybody yeah. didn't do their job.
I've pointed this out to you a couple times, like when we're watching during the game, is the plays where the end-around action does work is that you can see sometimes on the run plays where, okay, a defender clears out because they're following yeah. Tank across the field. Where it doesn't work sometimes with some of the backfield motion was that first interception by CJ. I think they ran somebody in motion, and a defensive back went with him, and I think CJ thought it was man and not cover two,
mm-hmm.
and his assessment was wrong. You know, he threw the wrong pass right into the teeth of where a cover two corner would be waiting for the ball, and, like, that's it can work both ways.
Yeah.
It can work both ways.
Yep. Slowik is easily catching the most heat of anybody right now. Like, I don't think it's even a
contest. Oh, no, yeah.
Like, of all the players, all the coaches, front office, I think Slowik is number one on the heat meter right now, right?
If we had to put the where the manure is running into whose camp the most.
Oh, okay, I like that.
I think Slowik's getting the most manure running into his
campsite. Without a doubt.
After that, is it Caserio or D'Amico?
I don't know if it's Caserio or D'Amico, or I don't know. Do we count like the offensive line as one five-headed person? Because
I was kind of thinking above the player level of management. But yeah, I guess maybe the offensive line is right below Slowik, and then it goes to Caserio, I think, just in that this is the offensive line that Caserio himself has doled out a bunch of money to.
Yeah, it's
drafted.
Right. And it's doing to Nick Caserio's the overall impression of him, it's doing to the team itself. Like, this overall is a pretty good football team. Like, if you look at the roster, and you know, the defense is fine, they got a lot of really fun pieces on offense, but the offensive line is dragging it down right now disproportionately. And I think similarly, and it makes sense that this would be the case because Nick put this team together, is that Nick has done a lot of really good things. You know, like as a GM, like he's got a pretty good hit rate. Free agency this year, he's done, I think this free agency class this offseason, the vets he brought in have been really, really good. Like, he's hit on way more of those than the average GM does. And yet you're absolutely right. It's like, okay, what were we thinking here with this extension to Titus Howard, and what were we thinking with this? And it's all confined to the offensive line, you know?
That's where I do think Slowik, up to a certain point, is doing a good job of compensating for an offensive line that he can't trust.
Right.
But there's also some more things that you wish he could be doing where, okay, you go into that game last week and you don't have a lot of receivers on the field that can create separation.
Yeah.
But you don't see a whole lot of rub routes and bunches and things that get guys open quickly, where guys are schemed open, as opposed to when it's just, oh, it's CJ throwing to Nico Collins over the middle, where all he needs is a 16th of a second of a window, and he can get it to Nico, and Nico's off to the races, breaking four or five tackles.
Yeah,
you know, that's not scheming Nico open. That's running a slant with Nico and CJ throwing the ball to him.
Right.
Versus a lot of this other stuff, where, man, when the Lions had three man pass rushes in that game, he's looking downfield and there's just nobody coming open.
Yeah.
There's guys running still towards the back of the end zone when he's under duress. There are no options for him.
No.
And he's taking sacks with a three-man pass rush.
The Nico thing kind of highlights what we were just talking about with Caserio, though, which is like, man, everybody's hyper-focused on the O-line, and I get it. I understand. I've been hyper-focused on the O-line. So I'm with everybody on this. And yeah, like, Nick has his culpability, obviously, in the construction of this. He's the GM. He also signed Nico Collins to what might end up being the best wide receiver contract of the last 5 years. You know, like, it's so the offensive line is kind of, it's dragging everybody down
they have gotten better in the run blocking, but it's not anything as I worried about after every Joe Mixon 100-yard performance. They weren't consistently churning out fearsome run yards.
Right.
It was like their success rate was not great. Joe Mixon has, Sam Warren has a good piece yesterday breaking down the Joe Mixon runs. And one of the things he brought up was that, you know, that a huge percentage of Joe Mixon's yardage has come on like six big runs.
Yeah.
Can you run when you have to run? Can you run when they load the box? And the Lions loaded up the box some, and they couldn't run at all. Joe Mixon averages less than 2 yards per carry in that game. A lot of the stuff they've done when the runs are successful, it still doesn't make you feel better about this offensive line just doing bread and butter run plays against good defenses, because you're stuck with an offensive line that's kind of constructed where, okay, I guess you want these guys to be good at outside zone blocking, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you, okay, if you're not a team that can block outside zone, are you a team that can double team guys right up the middle and just power run? No, they're not those guys. But we can do these fun little plays and these traps and things where we pull the guards and they kind of have an angle on somebody and they push them out of the way for a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're never mashing guys to the earth.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so it's cute and it works for a little bit. But then teams realize, oh, okay, this is what you're trying versus we're just going to shut this down.
Go watch a 49ers game.
Yeah,
that's what this is modeled after, and it doesn't look anything like that. Like even if they've had games where in the box score it looks like that, it doesn't look like that.
They're not physically taking it to the other side.
Right.
In any element of the game in the run game.
Yes.
Other than with Joe Mixon's big runs. And there's times too where I feel like Mixon's a little too greedy, you know, like in terms of just steadily churning out yardage. There's times where Mixon's bouncing things to the outside where, man, all right, that's five
count.
Guaranteed yards if you just hit it. It's guaranteed. Just go.
If you just go. Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Hey, more from J.J. Watt. This was funny. Okay, and this got me thinking about like, oh, man, okay, so J.J., take a listen. Like he's got to be referring to some of the things that happened when he was with the Texans. Like he was here for a decade. This was J.J. Watt on his level of concern that the Texans have had at this point now multiple players only air quotes meetings.
Players only meeting. They are sitting on top of the AFC South. But what's your level of concern with that going forward?
Oh no.
I have heard that there was a long players-only meeting. I am on record in the past discussing players-only meetings and what those generally mean for an organization. When I saw the first half on Sunday, I was very close to tweeting out, maybe it's the first players-only meeting in history that was productive and positive and worked. And then the second half happened. So I'm hoping that something more positive comes out. Maybe they need to be longer. Maybe they need to double the length of players-only.
Wasn't it they were saying 2 hours?
Multiple hours.
Jeez.
I did hear 2 hours. I have no direct sources, but I did hear two hours.
What the
is an extent.
Are you doing for 2 hours? Everybody on the team got 10 minutes? All right, everybody in here gets 10 minutes. Kaimi, you're first. Fairbairn, what are your thoughts?
I missed the 58-yarder. It's the first 50-yarder that I've ever missed, seemingly, this year, and we got to be better attention.
Okay, long snapper, Wicks, get up there, pal. What do you got? Okay, CJ, Will, Nico, is it everybody talking? Is there a presentation?
It's a long meeting, man. It's a long meeting.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what. That's just a long meeting in general. 2 hours. Doesn't matter if it's the head coach running, if it's the players running it. That's a long time to be in that meeting room.
I hope there was a presentation.
Damn. Thank you. Damn right.
All right. This is the key piece of information that they needed there was that it wasn't the entire team meeting for 2 hours, which is what I said from the very beginning was if it was a entire team, 2 hour team meeting, nothing good comes from that. You got too many. It's like any other large meeting you've ever had where the three guys who are least want to hear from end up like holding court the entire time.
But hold,
it's the guys that whine and complain about everything all the time.
Keep that thought because JJ, because you got to hear this next one here.
So just to be clear, just to lay it out, it was like a few of the veteran leaders getting together and CJ, who's not like a veteran yet, but
yeah,
still.
It sounds like, it's 8 to 10
leaders
guys
getting together, like a leadership council.
Yeah. Now, JJ, they say, take us in the locker room. How do these meetings go?
There is a lot of, like, there's one guy up there that's like, hey, guys, I'm going to take control of this. We're going to get this under control right away. And there's a lot of people in the room rolling their eyes, laying back in their seats, kind of waiting. And then there's definitely one guy speaking that should not be speaking in front of the team ever.
Every time.
For sure. And he's going to try and rally the troops and really give his go of it, what he's seeing from the sidelines that he thinks the team needs to work on.
Nice.
And that guy's always a f***ing idiot.
Yes. Yep, always. That is true. Yeah, every team.
And then somebody tries to bring it back around, and they're like, all right, so what we're going to take away from this is that we all need to come in a little earlier. We all need to stay a little later. We all need to really give it a good go this week. As the Jets say, 3 good weeks of practice. We need that, and then we're going to be good. And it just ends, and everybody leaves and immediately starts talking to their close clique of friends like, God, that was dumb.
Talking about everybody's speech.
Like, can you believe what's his nuts got up there and said, like, he played one snap one time and he thinks he can tell us how to play? Like,
That's it. So, yeah, did I tell you? Did I tell you, Sean?
No, you nailed it. That's why
if that's why you don't do it, that's why I was happy. I was cool with the players only meeting when I found out that it was basically the leadership council. The entire team. It's those guys that. They don't have the answer. Their ideas are like so far out of left field that everybody's just like, and they talk for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the entire team meeting. That's why it needs to be the Politburo getting together figuring it out.
Politburo. No, this is what I need on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. JJ, to me, he's clearly talking about some players-only meetings he experienced here in Houston, right?
Yeah.
Like,
clearly, right?
Yeah. And there were plenty of teams JJ played on that would necessitate at least what everybody's impression is of a players-only meeting. My guess is that it happened during the 2013 season where they were going 2-14, and DJ Swearinger stood up and spoke as a rookie.
That's my guess.
And
it was something about how coach doesn't recognize swag, and we need a coach who's got more swag or something like that.
If JJ were to give me one guess, that would be my guess. Like, yeah, you had a players only meeting in 2013 where you still have PTSD because DJ Swearinger, rookie safety, stood up and gave his ideas as to how the team could get better.
And about why it was an insult that he... I'm a second-round pick, and coach has got me trying to play special teams. That's not me, you know?
Now, here's the,
where we are.
Here's the ironic thing. Here's the ironic thing. And this is where, like, post-career JJ versus, like, Captain America JJ... I like them both, but JJ post-career is so fun now. Like, he's just so unvarnished talking about his time in the league and how things go on, just like he was right there. He was really funny right there. I think if you had asked people, like, during JJ's career, like, who's the guy JJ was describing at the beginning of that? Like, you got this one guy that gets up in front of the team, and he's leading the meeting. And JJ was clearly talking disparagingly about that metaphoric guy, you know, that whoever that is. I think most people would have thought, like, JJ is the guy leading the players-only meeting about, hey, guys, this is what we need to do.
That's like where
back in the day.
Right. That they would have thought that he would have stood up as a second-year player or something.
Well, or even as the vet. Like, JJ clearly thinks players-only meetings are a bunch of horse crap.
But it all depends, though. Like we said, that an entire team players-only meeting that when kind. You haven't been doing it regularly or something.
Yeah.
Because I've been on teams where it was more of a regular thing. You did it once a week, and that's good, you know, because you can kind of check in on everything, and it would be short. That was in college. It's one of those things that I think they only get the attention that they do when things are going bad.
Yeah.
I think there might be players-only meetings that JJ doesn't even remember that happened when things were still pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's just not as notable. It doesn't get reported in the paper and what have you. But definitely, the 100%, the fact that it was a leadership council meeting doesn't – like, I don't turn a side eye to it nearly as much. It feels like, okay, this is the way it should be. You know, there's a guy's kind of figuring out, like, all right, hey, is there anything we need to tweak or get better?
Five-hour energy fan line. I bet my bottom dollar Brock Osweiler was the idiot speaker.
Who would be the current guy that you'd think, okay, might get up and be all of a sudden start talking and everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Titus.
You think Titus would get up and give a speech about how they need to dress better on their way into
games? I don't know what speech he'd give.
You guys never retweet me. You never support me.
Titus is I'll say this, and this is a credit to D'Amico and Nick. Like, they don't have a lot of guys right now that induce eye rolling every time they open their mouth.
Titus says some pretty goofy things.
Titus says some goofy things. Yeah, like that's it. Like, it's, you know, it's. Titus was the one that said they let the Jets game slip away when they got outscored 21-6 in the second. They got steamrolled in the second half, you know?
Titus is the one who told Aaron Wilson that he was not trying to take the ball away from C.J. Stroud.
That's
the story that D'Amico and everybody else is sticking to, apparently, is that, no, he wasn't trying to take the ball. He was trying to hold C.J. up.
Yeah.
Which is a unique way to go about your job as an offensive lineman. Typically, my preferred method is to block somebody.
That's a good way to keep him up. Yeah.
I like offensive linemen. Like, usually I put that on my combine form when I'm scouting these guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you had the choice to protect your quarterback by A, blocking a defensive lineman, or B, embracing him and trying to protect him from falling down too hard after you stopped blocking, which would you prefer?
Yeah.
And if they choose B, that's a red flag, Sean. That's a red flag.
Yeah. Someone says Kendrick Green is that guy. Kendrick Green is fine. He's not said anything. Now, he might be that guy that fits the profile of what JJ is talking about, like, who's played, like, you know, 10 snaps all year.
Yeah.
Like, if he were to
pretty aggressively when he didn't go into the game after – after Kenyon was benched and then Patterson came in and got injured, Kendrick was doing some Kendrick did some pretty aggressive pouting on the sideline after that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's an indication that he might.
Someone now people are guessing who they thought the lead speaker that JJ was talking about with the Texans on the text page there on the 5 hour energy fan line. Arian Foster probably was the lead speaker. Zero chance. Arian Foster, if there were a players only meeting like JJ was describing, Arian Foster wants to get the hell out of there as fast as he possibly can.
There's a no, because JJ was talking about the things that guys roll their eyes at. Yeah, and a lot of this is league wide. You kind of figure this out as a player. You can tell the guys that are really good at giving speeches when the cameras are on. And if you watch any time any player is giving a speech while the camera is on, if you just go ahead and look off towards the periphery and check the engagement level of guys around, you can kind of get a feel for, all right, is this guy doing this all the time? Are guys actually listening to him? There's usually a core of super engaged people.
Yeah.
50% of those guys are also just trying to get on camera.
Yeah.
If the speech is anything longer than 23 seconds, then, all right, you're doing this for attention. Stop it.
Let's see. Someone says, JJ just described what's going on with my situation at work and my purchasing team. We lost our work from home privileges because a couple people not going in periodically. They've been the most vocal about losing their privilege. Lack of self-awareness. Yeah, I think there's a lot. There's a lot of what JJ described in the players only meetings that he's describing there that I think people in a normal workplace can relate to. Like,
when we had a new boss like a long time ago, he kind of got everybody together, like the entire staff, like all the part time everybody. So we had the
programming,
we had a big room full of people, and a lot of them were people that were just part timers that had only been with the organization for like less than a year or so.
Yeah.
And these kids wouldn't shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And they were kids.
Yeah.
They were like 22. Like, you got Rich Lord trying to say something and this little punk is interrupting him. And I'm like, this feels like a players only meeting. This is you were kind of all waiting around to hear what Rich Lord has to say because we're going to change directions with the way we're operating a little bit and everything.
Yeah.
And some kid that's been working there for like 6 weeks is like, well, if I might interject, and then gives a 5-minute soliloquy. Oh, I never wanted to get out of a room so hard in my life. I thought about faking a stroke.
They didn't say if I might interject, but now in my mind they did. I'm picturing that person. I know who you're talking about. I'm picturing that person wagging their finger saying, if I may interject.
If only they'd had the self-awareness to even say if I might interject.
Right.
Like, you know, there was none of it. There was zero of that.
Right. And people are going to text in names. It's not anybody know.
They're not here anymore. Yeah, no, they didn't make the cut.
No. Well, and they weren't.
I think
like,
that one guy got fired like after that meeting.
On the way out the door.
Yeah.
Like even our boss at the time, who probably kind of liked some of the engagement going on, was like, nope. Too much from you, yes.
Our boss didn't know enough. He hadn't been there long enough to know who the jackasses were.
Right.
So it was rough.
So he invited them.
He felt like it was a lot of people trying to put their best foot forward.
Right.
And get their brilliant, you know, their brilliant opinions in, and it was awful.
That's where he probably should have come to us and said, hey, who should be invited to this meeting, you know?
I think I might have been the one that made the suggestion that we make it as inclusive as possible.
So what are you complaining about then? Like, you're the problem then. You were I had to sit through that meeting because of you?
I thought the manager was going to have some control over this
situation.
That's
true. It was.
Yeah.
Remember? Booker T was in that meeting. That was back when Booker T
That was the only good thing.
Yeah.
Booker T had to sit through it for like 90 minutes and then he got up and gave a speech and it was awesome.
He was great. Booker was awesome. Yeah. Like, you made a 2-time Hall of Famer sit through this meeting. Shortly thereafter, Booker left and went to another station.
Yeah. That was it for him. It broke him. That players only meeting broke him.
We would still have Booker T if not for that meeting.
Yeah.
Oh my God. 713-572-4610. Someone suggesting Xavier Suofilo was the one that stood up in the meeting and started talking. That would be on brand for what JJ was talking about, though. Like, if Xavier Suofilo stood up and said, hey guys, I know what needs to be fixed, and then everybody just brings a mirror over and lets him look. No, this is what needs to be fixed, Xavier. Look in the mirror. You.
They should have just gotten up and done affirmations in the mirror together. We are good enough. Mm-hmm. We are strong enough. We can score points in the second half.
Do you think they score a touchdown in the second half this weekend?
I think they score 3 in the second half.
Do you really? You think it's like a... Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, once it happens, there will be a...
Yeah, I think it's going to be ugly for the Cowboys. I think this you want to try to just dump a hand grenade in the middle of their organization by really beating them embarrassingly on Monday Night Football. Yeah, that'd be a really, really...
That would be sweet, man.
And it's very feasible, very feasible.
Yep, that would be sweet.
I'm looking at the 2015 roster, and there aren't... Like, that's the shame about it was they had some... They had a bunch of really good dudes on that team.
They had good dudes. If they had a good quarterback on that 2015 team, I think they might have been able to do something. But that quarterback
situation was a mess. I'm not looking at one guy on the starters from 2015. Other than Swearinger, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Swearinger might have been the guy that spoke up and spoke for too long.
That's my hypothesis on that one. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Let's chat here. This plan for the Astrodome. There is a proposal out there. There's a proposal out there that's being framed as a plan for the Astrodome. There's one big thing missing if this is a plan. And I will tell you what it is coming up next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so we know the Astrodome is this gigantic eyesore sitting over there next to NRG Stadium. And I know there's history in there, but it is currently... literally a condemned building sitting over there, and it's a very polarizing condemned building. It is one that many would like to see just go away. It's another one that many would like to see repurposed in some shape, form, or fashion.
Bogged down in technicalities, but it's not. I mean, it's not condemned.
Oh, okay.
It's in limbo. Oh,
okay.
Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen to it. We know that it would cost $100 million to tear it down.
Okay. Cal said it was condemned in a soundbite he did with Will Kunkel in an interview.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going off
that. For me to hear it condemned means like, oh, yeah, there's a plan to tear this thing down,
okay,
where, in fact, nobody wants to pay the $100 million to tear it down. But the Rodeo and the Texans don't really – they're not all that interested in – any of these plans that pop up every 3 years with fancy images of how it's going to become a multi-use center of commerce and parking and data storage that the latest plan from the Conservancy suggests they should do.
So for those who don't know who the Conservancy is, it's the Astrodome Conservancy, and it's a group that's got funded a couple of years ago to try to come up with some plans to do some things with the Dome and eventually save it and maybe make that part of town a little more vibrant over there with, as Seth just pointed out, retail and walking parks and places to hang out outside and inside and data storage, yes, indeed, is part of it. On Wednesday, yesterday, they unveiled the ambitious plan that they have, Vision Astrodome, to answer the decade-long question of what to do with the landmark property. It is a $1 billion plan. The only thing about this plan is that there's nowhere in this article in the Chronicle I see where they're coming up with the $1 billion. That's the one issue. It's a minor issue, but there's nowhere in here that they've found the $1 billion to go execute.
You know why this angers me, Sean? Yeah. Because we keep getting these plans. Like somebody wins an architecture competition, they put the plans in the Chronicle, and like, ooh, ah, it's beautiful. It's like when I was a kid and I would see concept cars at a car show. And you didn't quite understand that, like, no, this car is never going to be produced.
Right.
It looks badass.
It's badass,
right?
No, yes.
There's not actually an engine in it. But, and there's some disillusionment there that comes with that, because you see it and you don't understand the concept of concept cars. And I just assume that this is what you're going to be able to pick up when I turn 16. Surely I'll make that much money by then. Buy that car. And now I get these concept Astrodomes every few years that look awesome.
No, they look awesome. And they had a full.
But then they're like, oh yeah, but it's going to cost $1 billion and we don't have the money.
Yeah.
Oh.
They did a full blown presentation of it yesterday. Watching some of the video, the presentation, I'm like, no, that looks totally cool. Like, if you could just, like, you know, find a genie in a lamp and wish that I could have that, I would totally rather have that than knocking down the building. For sure, that looks amazing. But it costs $1 billion, and I think I'd rather see the $1 billion go to some other things around town, maybe. And it's interesting because you point out the constituencies that that get approached with these plans, like saying, hey, maybe we should do this. And it's largely the Texans and the rodeo and the county that get approached with these. The head of the rodeo, Chris Bowman, who's the president and CEO of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, sent an email to the Chronicle in response to this plan on Tuesday. And he said this: the rodeo has not had formal conversations with the Conservancy in more than a year. The rodeo does not support the previously presented concepts as they conflict with our organization's strategic vision and operational needs. We voiced our concerns on several occasions with the Conservancy. There's no proposed or official plan that our organization has agreed to or been made aware of regarding the future of the Astrodome. However, the rodeo Texans in the county have been working on plans for NRG Park's future. Our goal remains to focus on functioning buildings, enhancing our experience, and growing our event. End quote. This is somebody who is like waiting for the Jehovah's Witnesses to get off his front stoop right now.
It's honestly, it feels like you feel like you're in a neighborhood where, okay, there's a bunch of teardowns, there's old ranch houses, everything that's going up is brand new, much bigger, it's going to be a higher price point. But somebody like trying to come up with all these exotic plans to save some ranch house in the middle of the neighborhood, and none of them make economic sense, because ultimately what those houses are worth is the dirt that they're on.
Yeah.
And I think that right now, if you're looking at the Astrodome and how, yes, as magnificent a structure as it once was, it's a huge hunk of concrete on several acres of land, and the land is way more valuable than the structure for commercial purposes.
Yep.
And I think that there's probably the feasible things to do if you take away any of the emotion that's tied up or in it or wrapped up in it, is that, yeah, a parking structure probably makes more economic sense than anything you could repurpose with the Astrodome. Because if it was a slam dunk $1 billion project that was going to make money, there are developers that would love to be a part of it. They haven't come up with anything that's actually economically feasible.
That's right.
For anybody to jump into that $1 billion pool of investment.
Yeah, I'm a knock it down guy. I mean, I am. I understand the history of it. I do. I mean, I admittedly came here in the 90s, so it was the back end of the heyday for the Astrodome. By the time I was here, 5 years, they formed the Harris County Houston Sports Authority to start building new buildings here. So I understand I'm a guy that's at the back end, but other cities, every other city has taken the building that houses all their memories.
Yeah.
And they've destroyed these buildings, and yet, you know what doesn't happen in your brain? The memories don't go away. Like, it's not like Back to the Future where Marty and his siblings started disappearing from the picture because they changed the entire course of the universe. You know what I mean? Like, no, the memories are still there. When they knock the building down, there's not some Control-Alt-Delete that happens with your brain. It's all good. You can still remember, you know, sitting in there for Astro playoff games or big Oiler Monday night games.
The thing that's different with the Astrodome in terms of the people that were actually around and can remember the construction of it was that it was at the time something incredibly innovative and ambitious.
Unquestionably, in a way that yes.
Nobody, and that's the part where I think, even when you read all these stories about Judge Hofhinds and the way he lived his life and the way he went out and got money to invest in all this stuff, and it seems like he was a character that doesn't exist in America anymore. Yeah. You know, it just, like these, and so it was kind of a magical moment in Houston history where they were coming onto the scene in the sports world and in a lot of other ways. It was pretty exciting and innovative.
Yeah,
and I get that. I can't, or at least I get that I can't really get it because I didn't live through
it. Right, so I
understand the people that were there for it. Then I think it's a little bit different than just the building that people used to go to watch games in.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, it's not one of these things where these people like you're describing, Seth, if that were their counterpoint to me, I'm not treating them like they're flat earthers or something. Like, I totally get that. But tough decisions have to be made sometimes.
And I can tell you, too, that just almost all of those people tend to be in our age group and older who are also that, like, yeah, hey, we want nice things, but we also don't want to be paying taxes for something I ain't going to be
using. $1 billion? What?
All right?
Yeah.
So there's even people that have emotional attachment to it that are like, yeah, but, I mean, public money for, like, this thing that nobody else will offer private money for that just doesn't feel like what I'm into these days.
Right. No, you're right. If it was a good business plan, somebody privately would come up with the money for it for sure.
Yeah.
This is just to kind of lay out, we talked about the Texans and the rodeo and how people feel about it. The McNairs, Cal and Hannah actually sat down with Will Kunkel. This was, I think, during the preseason. This is several months ago, but Will Kunkel asked Cal and Hannah about the dome and what do we do with this here?
What's next for the Astrodome? What is going to happen with that building?
It's a county building, so whatever they decide to do, I'm sure they'll figure out something soon. It's, I think it's been condemned and it's not being used, so it's a drain on the taxpayer. So we'll see what the county decides to do.
Okay, Cal's exactly right.
Hannah? I'm not saying anything.
So Cal's 100% correct because it was officially condemned in 2009.
Okay.
That's because it doesn't have a... So I guess it's scheduled for demolition, right? But it's condemned in terms of not being fit for human use.
Right. Don't go in there.
Officially.
Yeah, don't go in there. So there you go. Man, I found the quotes hilarious from the head of the rodeo that, like, it was, I'm reading this, I'm like, yeah, this is him saying, I wish these people would just go away with their big highfalutin plans here, man. Like,
it's fun. It's kind of like the Springfield tire fire at this point. I kind of look at it as a point of pride. They're like, yeah, it's the Astrodome, right? Oh, the Packers have their fancy Packers Museum.
The Packers Hall of Fame, which is pristine.
We've got a whole freaking dome right there.
Yeah, man.
Look at it. Just look at it.
Yeah.
Look at it. Don't look at it too long.
Hey,
but
man.
Look at it.
You house your memories how you house them, and we'll house them how we house them, okay?
Yeah.
You choose to do it in a nice, brand new building with pictures and interactive kiosks and things. We choose to do it with a building that's been condemned and houses thousands of feral cats. Okay.
Hey, what do you guys do? Do you take graves? Do you take flowers to your grandmother's grave?
Right.
Every year on the anniversary of her death. No. We our homage to her is we've got her old plastic covered sofa in the living room.
That's right.
Actually, just next door. We keep it in the yard next door.
Yeah.
That's grandma's sofa.
Yeah.
It's got a flowery pattern and it's got plastic protection.
You're okay. Right. And there, people are like, is that a skeleton in there? Like, oh yeah, that was grandma. Like, she's not
Yeah,
there
that
yet.
Was right, yeah, right.
We
yeah.
actually kept her, too. Yeah.
That's our fitting way to remember her.
Yep, yep. That's how we do it. You do you, and we'll do us, all right? Stop judging. All right, 8 o'clock hour coming up. The Anthony Richardson situation in Indianapolis with the Colts. They are starting Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. Why this situation and how silly Shane Steichen sounds doing this should be a warning sign for the Houston Texans. I'll explain coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com